Steven Blake. I'm a pastor, married, have two kids. One is 6 and one is 2. And what is it to be a father? It's a great feeling. It's a massive responsibility. And, you know, it allows you, it teaches you patience. And especially in this time when everyone is home, you know, you have to have a lot more patience with the kids then, but it makes me love them more, spend more time with them. And I absolutely love being a father. It's the greatest joy somebody could have ever in the history of mankind. I thought I used to love sports and all kind of things, but when you have kids, you love them the most. He's got a hot rod
and a heart of gold. My name is Andre, bro. Yeah. Fatherhood pretty much changed my entire life. I mean, it is scary to think that persons will have kids and they don't step up to their responsibility and they don't do what they need to do. But for me, my child, I have a daughter. My child changed my entire life. I mean, coming up, there were so many different things I was doing, and then from she got into the picture, I mean, there are so many plans that was changed, and it pretty much spearheaded me in the right direction. Mothers do amazing jobs, but a child also needs that father figure as well.
It's Winston Ellis. I have 3 children. Fatherhood is an extension of yourself. You have these children and you have taken on the responsibility of multiplying yourself into the lives of others. It is an opportunity to see your seeds develop to their best potential. It's also a continuation of your life through them. Not that you should want them to mimic your life or to fulfill your dream, but fatherhood is an extension of your life. You love them as you would love yourself.
Hi, my name is Dwayne, father of 2, boy and a girl. Being a dad for me has been one of the most fulfilling, selfless roles I've ever played in my entire life. Growing up as a younger man, one of my lesser strengths was being a person without patience. I lack patience. And having a daughter, you know, we all know how girls are. So it has taught me to be patient. Very patient, very forgiving, very gentle. My son has taught me to like football. I actually love football, though I never had a taste for it. He is a avid football player, and I can tell you, I've learned so much from them both. And it's an honor, to say the least, and a privilege to be called daddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Men's Truth. The last episode, again, was a heavy episode, and I'm grateful for the support, looking at a very heavy issue, but a very necessary issue. And I don't know if you all are paying attention, but there was a big discussion about sexual assault on Twitter, both men and women. So it's good to know that the conversation is going on, and we had a role to play in that conversation. That's only the beginning. It doesn't end there. I really think that we did create a space for men to open up about their experiences. Today, though, we want to look at fatherhood. But before we get into it, I want to introduce, as usual, my colleagues, my brethren, you know, Mr. Michael Natu, the reader man, journalist, poet extraordinaire. How are you doing this evening?
Alive and well.
Yes, yes, Seal. And Mr. Kyrie Mellis, financial and sales coach, entrepreneur. How are you doing, Chief?
Blessed, you know, bro. Blessed, you know.
So, I know Natu has something that he wanted to read for us.
This article published by CNN, it was written by Aaron Paxton Arnold in 2015. And it's about dispelling the myths about Black fathers. And I'll just share an excerpt here. In America, and we can make that extension to, you know, our society, America, anywhere in America, the perception is that the Black father doesn't exist. Negative stereotypes of Black men exist. And people on the right blame the victim in cases like those of Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, and Michael Brown. But if we look at the ground level, Black fathers are all around. On the streets and in hip-hop culture, the Black is celebrated and used to describe a neighborhood. Black men, young and old, take pride in their hood. If you come to my block, you will see Black fathers and husbands celebrating with their wives and spending quality time with their children. That's it.
Dispelling the myth. I love that. I love that because, you know, we get into the statistics a little bit later, but I want to ask Karim, as a father of a young daughter, what has your experience been as a father? What has that been like?
Wow. I'm a new father, so it's about, what, a year and 6 months. If I take you back to, you know, when I found out I was having a child, it didn't seem real, you know. It was like, all right, cool. You know, you're just going to do what you have to do. But when I saw her, it's like, I really can't describe the feeling, but it's like a light bulb just go off. And it's like, shit, this is real, you know. And I think at that point in my life, something changed inside of me, you know, looking at someone that I made. You know, that's a part of me. And I mean, I was like, wow. I mean, watching her grow up now and all of that, the feeling that you get is, I'm not big on words, I'm very poetic like Natu, but I'm telling you, it's not a word that's in my vocabulary right now. And I mean, it's just something that, the feeling that you get is like you can't feel. I mean, I look at her, and no matter what, whenever you have a low day, like, you know, you have something else out there to live for because it's a part of you. You know, that person is you. It's an extension of you. The journey it's been, I wouldn't tell you that it's been all great. As honestly, I wouldn't say I was prepared. And I don't ever think you can be fully prepared for these things, but it's a journey, right? And I'm embracing it. I'm only 1 year and 6 months in, and I tell you, if I feel this way, there's nothing I wouldn't do for that girl. Like, I literally starve just to make sure that she's good. You know, the feeling that you get is, I remember going to the mall and walking around with my daughter, and normally, you know, you'd look for something for yourself. Virgin, I don't even take up one thing for myself. I'm here looking for everything for this child. Like, everything you think about is this child. Yeah. So it brings me back to like a flashback of how my father was with us, you know, and you see the sacrifices that he made, and you know, I can see the same in myself, and knowing that I'll pretty much make those same sacrifices and more if I have to. When you guys get there, it's only a feeling that you have to feel it to be able to describe it, right? And when you get there, you get there.
That was as poetic as I've heard the speech described. Don't sell yourself short on the poetry aspect. I want to know, though, how much of, you know, you being a father is something you learned by watching your father? How much of it was you learning completely on your own?
Good question. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Learning on my own, I would say less than probably 0.5. Why? I would say majority of it came from my father, and I was privileged to grow up with a lot of father figures, you know. Both uncles and other men in the family are close family friends who played significant parts that, you know, I could pull bits and pieces from. But majority of it, I have to say majority of it, it came from what I knew, you know, which is my father. Everything, majority of who I am is as a result of him, you know, the experiences, what I've seen him do, how he's behaved in certain situations. I'd honestly say majority I learned from him. I mean, yeah, you learn here and there on your own because every situation is different. You understand?
So a follow-up to that, you know, you spoke about, you know, your father and you spoke about father figure. But I note in your response, you kept referring to, you know, what you learned from your father. And that was quite specific as opposed to saying, you know, what you learned from your father and father figures. So is that to suggest that having a father in your life as opposed to, you know, father figure, that's way more important?
Yeah. All right. As I said before, I've been privileged to experience both. Right? There are cases where persons, for whatever reason, won't actually have their biological father or a stepfather around. But another male party can play that role. So it's just the role that is being played. In my case, I have a bunch of them to choose from, both negative and positive. But you have to pick and choose what you don't want. You understand? And you can see the bad out of the good. So definitely, my father would be more, because I mean he's the person that grew me. You understand? All my life I've emulated this man. I've seen what he's done. The path and the steps I've taken, even in business, has been similar to his. You understand? He's a very important part in my life and my development.
I'm doing a bit of comparison on my end because, you know, my experiences. So my father was killed 3 months before I was born. So I never even had a chance to meet him. And I had only one picture of him growing up. And sometimes I forget, you know, how he looks. But there is also bigger questions, you know, I've had. How different would I be as an individual, as a person? You know, how much different of a man would I be? And I mean, I would never know, but I often wonder, you know, I'm wondering if that's weird because, you know, much of what you do, you've emulated from your father, you know, aside from my grandpops and uncle. So,
you know, I'm listening, like truly listening to both of you speak, and I'm getting chills because, well, I've had my father in my life. According to Karen, I've had the privilege to have my father in my life. And to be honest, I only had growing up one friend who did not have a father in his life. And so my reality was always that kind of nuclear structure growing up and moving out of home. Then I realized how common it is for a father to be absent from the household for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And everyone can agree, from the psychologist to the biologist or the anthropologist, that there is value in having both mother and father, and also the community surrounding them. But you have those who will blame the father for being absent, for the reason a child turns out a certain way, and will also blame the father for being present when a child turns out a certain way. And so fatherhood is oftentimes the subject, but it is very rarely spoken about in positive ways, right? Never mind that the statistics now show that men or fathers in the household is at 42% in Jamaica, and it is coming from 18% 60-something years ago. So I'm talking specifically about Jamaica now, 42%. Mm-hmm. And now you have to think about death, like in your case, Natu, or imprisonment or for whatever reason. But mm-hmm. Going back to the article you read, there is this myth that black fathers are absent from the household, and it runs very counter. In the United States, mm-hmm. black fathers are present, more present than any other race in the baby's first step, taking the child to after school activities, providing for the child than any other race. That's in the United States. But mm-hmm. when you Google father, and for the listeners, I want you to try it. Google father, Google images of father, and 9 out of 10 of those images is a white man and son, not a black man and his son. And so to just you're gonna try to. And so to hear Karim speak about his experiences with his father, and also speak about his experiences with his child, with his daughter, is not only heartwarming, but it proves that it is far more common than we would like to accept. And there is this article by Herbert Gill. He's an anthropologist at the university. And he said that when the father is missing, because we're looking at the relationship between absentee fathers and violence, and he said that if the father is missing from the household, then it's the mother to be blamed for the son being violent, because the father can be responsible for nothing, he's for something he's not involved in. And there is a biological relationship between mother and son, biological and psychological, and a psychological and biological relationship between father and daughter. So Karim, your relationship, and that I heard you talk about the fact that you cannot fail, that is biologically and psychologically embedded in you, that this is your daughter. Men talk about their daughter like this, or like they would kill anybody, or they would dead for them.
Yeah, man.
Yeah? And the upside that your daughter brings out in you, even, I mean, you're not saying you wouldn't love a son, but the love is a lot more deep, is a lot deeper, a lot more affectionate, which leads to the next point that I think societally, when we have a son, that we take a much more hands-off approach. And as Dr. Gill said, we don't include this concept of nurturing in parenting as men when it's a boy. So growing up, my father never used to really hold my hand when we were walking. We used to get a tapping on my head back to walk faster. You get me? And it was more about fathering through showing than fathering through telling. You know, so
I had to be
around him to learn, and not necessarily having any frank conversations about how to do this, how to do that, how to do the other.
Which is why, as I said before, I am pretty much emulating. When Natu asked the question, I said I'm actually emulating all that mm-hmm. I have mm-hmm. seen. You understand? Because it was passed down from his example, me watching, me experiencing, mm-hmm. me feeling. You understand? You feel your father's love in a different way. It's not the same way. It's not the same love that you give a daughter. I mean, the love is different, but it's a different kind of
texture,
love from your
different
father.
Different texture. Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. You know, when me and my father sit down and we reason throughout the years coming up, like if I can tell people some things my father used to do to me, and I mean it's not bad, but it was developing me for something greater, developing me for who I am now. There are certain lessons that he learned from his father that was passed on. That's why I kind of said that, you know, I'm a bit privileged in a way to me. Now, mark you, all of these probably might not work in today's time, or might not be ideal depending on the style of parenting might vary. However, the lessons that, I mean, you learn, the lesson that I learned, I mean, I learned to drive a car. I learned to wash a car. And I mean, wash a car. I wash car from probably like
same, bro.
And then I wash my father. when me I wash my father's car, my father come out there and make you know, so I'm supposed to see teeth in face of the car when you're done. I mean, I talk about wake up and wash
car. You know, still wash your own car,
morning, you understand? And I still wash my own car up this day. You understand? I mean, wake up early in the morning, feed dog, clean up dog shit. These were stuff that I had to do. And these were stuff that he had to do when he was a kid. You know, he would tell you that, you know, him used to get up and tie goat in the morning where you can feel the darkness and shit like that. Now, we're not going to tie goat in today's day, but
responsibility.
It teaches you something. Yeah. Responsibility, and that responsibility, it kind of makes it made it molded me into who I am today. Father,
some of the best men I've some of the best men I know, Natu, for example, some of the best men I know are men who didn't have a father, or men who, because of their negative relationship with their father, have become better fathers. And so there is that side of it, because my father's relationship with his father, my grandfather, was a tumultuous one. And I did not know that until the end of my grandfather's life, when he, after he had dementia and days away from his death, apologized to my father, right? And it's only then I understood after my mother explained it to me, because my father didn't explain it to me to this day, how much of a tumultuous relationship they had, and why he showed me so much tough love, because he wanted to make sure that every lesson that he didn't learn, that I learned it. The thing is, he didn't know how to in the best way, right? And it's only in retrospect I had to understand and embrace him and accept that he did the best he could. He was not a bad father. But as I said, the way that as a young boy you would have preferred it, that's not the way that he delivered it, you know?
So, for one, your father, he did have a father, right? He might not adapted, he might not adopt all of his parenting styles, but he technically did in a way that he wouldn't grow his child the same way his father grew him. You understand? So in a sense, he used that as a leverage, as a lever to change some form. There's stuff that my father did that won't do to my daughter. You understand? Because as I said, there's stuff that were to change. There are persons who use the negative, and they've also had, I'm pretty sure if you probably ask your father, sit down and have a conversation with him, he could probably tell you that he emulated somebody else, or he probably liked some parenting style from somebody else and put that into his one, or based off of what his father did him, besides that, boy, I'm not going to implement this in my parenting style. So I won't allow my child to live this type of way. So technically you use the negative, turn it into a positive.
The context,
there was still
context.
Somebody there.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. That's the point.
Not too.
I'm listening. I'm listening to you guys. And you know, like just running over, you know, some of my experiences, and when I've had men who were, you know, father figures. I remember this guy O'Neill. He used to buy me a pack of Lasco every time he would see me. And like even, you know, I remember when I was in high school, you know, I remember this man Everton. He pretty much, you know, he allowed me to do work at his place and all of that, you know, to help out, and he just embraced me as a child in terms of like that relationship. Like that was really, you know, the closest thing, because, you know, I started out, you know, working for him, because, you know, when I was going to high school, you know, we didn't have that, so, you know, I started off working for him, and then, like, the relationship, you know, blossomed, and like, even as good as that relationship was, and as good as the other relationships were, you know, with even another guy, Clive, like, you know, the thing about it is that I always knew So I always knew that they were there, but they were temporary. And I don't know if that impacted anything, but what I do know is that in me, like, you know, a father in the truest sense would have been, you know, and maybe I'm idealizing it because I didn't have it, you know, especially looking at Stefan's father and his experience, his father. But, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm wondering, like, would I have been a quote-unquote better man, you know? Because I think about something that, and I look at things that I'm, you know, because, you know, doing introspection, you wonder, like, you see some men who, they possess certain traits that you don't. Though I know that it's good to have father figures around, you really need, a guy needs his father, you know?
I hope you know what you, I hope you realize what just happened, because even in the absence of your father, the very idea of your father is a measuring rule for your entire life. And that's what we do. And mm-hmm. I think that's where the value is. Whether your father is present, absent, good or bad, he is the measuring rule for you as a man. So whether it's to not be like him, whether it's to be more like him, whether it's to be the best man in the absence of him, or
and
because he is in your life, you take it for granted. I don't know if having a father always means that you become a better man, right? Because they are those who have their father in their lives and they take it for granted and they become the scum of the earth, right?
But
what I will say is father in your life makes you a stronger man. I really believe that. Whether it's a positive influence or not, the concept of a father makes you a stronger man. Whether he's not in your life or whatever, the very concept, the very idea. And you said idealize, and that's what happens. You know, a father is every child's first superhero. Right? And he becomes the measuring rule. Here, Father's Day is coming up, and I can almost bet a limit is going to be far more low-key than Mother's Day, right? And this is not to be comparing celebrations, but you're going to see things like Happy Father's Day to the real fathers, right? And
you'll see how not only that, I guarantee you that on Father's Day, you will see a picture of a mother goat.
Yes. Because the strength of a woman and the strength of a mother is unquestioned, right?
Yeah.
But there's always this segue as if to say, listen, okay, you're a good father, but what about all of the other fathers out there who are not good or who are not present? Or you are the exception and not necessarily the rule. And this is where the myth is, right? And I think as men and even as fathers, we kind of allow it now, because in our mind, once all picnic them good, we really don't care what we get as gift or not. Because as you said, Karen, you would sacrifice everything. And that's how we've been raised, to not necessarily celebrate ourselves. So if you get this socks or a handkerchief or a tie, you say thank you. You like, in and of yourself, you don't want to feel like complaining.
But you know, I think it doesn't bother us too much because we strive on responsibility, right? So to us, it is what it is. I have to do it. It is what I'm going to do. I'm going to provide. I'm going to make sure it's my family good. It might not, you know, what's that show with Will Smith? Denzel Washington. That show.
Fences. Something like that. Viola Davis. I couldn't watch it.
I
know you're talking about it. It would have been too painful for Brenna. Yeah, but you know.
Listen. I watch that show and I watch that show multiple times because I want to get many different meanings from it. You know, you watch something once, you get a meaning, you watch it a second time. And I look at it and I like, you know, people might say he wasn't the best father or his example wasn't whatever. But you also have to understand where he's coming from. It's just a responsibility. It's just what we have to do. So we don't really make much big deal of it, to be honest with you. My father, he may wake up, maybe say Happy Father's Day. To him is whatever. I mean, it might feel nice, but, you know, at the end of the day, his reward is looking at what we've became because of his example. So when he looked at, when he looks at his product in the end, I say, all right, these are my three kids.
But Rimzy,
in who I'm well pleased.
I feel like a part of that, you know, acceptance by fathers. I feel it's part personal, but it's also part. Fathers aren't necessarily expected, you know, from what I've seen, to be emotional leaders in the sense that art, because, you know, becoming successful in terms of, you know, material things is not necessarily the mark of a fully developed human being.
My father looking at me and looking at the product that he's created or whatever, I would say he's looking at someone who is emotionally stable, finding his path, treating people the right way, and probably not Bill Gates wealthy as yet. However, the human being that he is a solid human being who is going to contribute to society in a positive way.
I think looking at what your children have become as a measure of your success as a father is positive, but it's also problematic because you're raising a human being who has their own choices to make. And although naturally we are going to internalize, did I do enough or could I have done more? The reality is once you've done all you can, Karim, right? Once you've done all you can, Natu, then it's up to this child to make the best decision given the information that is provided.
Because their own way.
I think societally, once we we treat parenting like that, especially fathers, like it's a hit or miss. So if a child didn't turn out to be an upstanding citizen, blame the father. He has failed. Instead of cherishing and respecting and understanding that man did the best he could, year in, year out. And I think we need to add the dimensions to, first off, men and then ultimately fathers, that it's not just protectors and providers. We are also nurturers. We also have more than one love language. Like you can
nurture
gifts or access service and all of these things that apply to women also apply to us. But no one takes the time to ask. So our default is, well, at least let me take comfort in the fact that I'm protecting and providing. And if my children turn out good, that's the consolation. And so I think we need to widen the scope because that's why I won't lie to you, I don't have a child yet, but as much as I take pride of comfort and joy in being a protector and a provider, I want to feel like my efforts are being recognized. The more I reflect on my life, the more I realize that I am becoming a dead stamp of my father. But there are still things I say, when I have my child, I'm going to let them know that me as a man, I am here telling you I love you. I am here telling you good job. I am here telling you that it's okay to express how you feel. And if it's a son, that is no reflection on how weak or strong you are as a man. And if it's a daughter, this is the first instance you are going to experience of what real love is supposed to feel like.
Yeah, man, definitely.
I like the point that you made earlier on, you know, about not using it as a measure to say how successful you are as a father. Because I can tell you, again, from my own bias perspective, and again, as I said, it comes down to how you were raised, generational and all of that. My father, my parents, let me put it big, but let me narrow it down to father. My father never forced me into anything. He didn't tell me to follow his path. He didn't do anything. He just
and you too.
led, showed me what was right, set out the, you understand? And I made my own decision. All right. My when I grew up, my parents were big in church. I wasn't baptized. You know, some kids just run, go back, them parents baptize them and all
yes.
that. I made my own decision.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, they're right, they're wrong. You learn from them. But I think that's also something that fathers need to do, and it's something that I will do. I'll never force my child to follow my footsteps or to make the decisions I make or be anything that I want them to be. You understand? As a men out there listening, you know, when you get a child, it's a powerful thing. It's an amazing feeling. Embrace it. Don't run away from the responsibility, because it can only grow you. It can only make you better as a human being, as a person. And I mean, you learn things about yourself that you didn't know. You know, fatherhood is an amazing thing. It's not for, I wouldn't stress it and say it's for everybody. But if you decide to get in, have a child or whatever, own up your responsibilities and don't shy away from it, because you never know the impact you'll be having on somebody else's life. And if you can't happen to have a child for your own, please, if you can be a father figure in somebody else's life, you'll never know how much that person will appreciate you. You understand? You never know how that they'll actually be looking up to you or what they'll be learning from you. Just being that figurehead, that father
figure. I love that point. That's why I ribs to bring up that point there. I'm going to try and close. But yes, because as much as we try to ignore it, one of the greatest measurements that society places on you as how much of a man you are, if you have a youth, if you have a child. And so the fact that you said, you know, even if you don't want to have children, that's not for everybody, even if you can't, you can still be a father figure. There is something innate in you that allows you to be that. And like, I'm just, my mind is blown, because we had an entire discussion about fatherhood and the value of it without placing blame or pointing fingers or any of the negativity surrounding what it means to be a father. So we're definitely changing the narrative. And it's not just changing the narrative. I think it's the truth. I think it's men's truth. And we're just going to leave it there. If anybody has any questions, comments, voice notes, just like the ones we started at the beginning of the episode, all the information is in the details below. Remember to join us on the IG Live right after the episode premieres. And bros, see you on the next one.
All right, bro.
Legendary.